Today on another emotionally scarring episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. When two sisters decide to move back in together as adults to help each other with the duties of parenting. The last thing they were expecting was something that couldn't be explained. Especially when night after night the troubled sounds of cries and small feet wandering from room to room were not coming from any of the children. Yet everyone could hear it. Who was wandering the house and what did it want with the children? We find out on this horrifying episode of Real Ghost Stories Online.
Welcome to Real Ghost Stories Online. Call in your real ghost story now at 855-853-4802 or write in at realghoststoriesonline.com. You are about to enter the world of the unknown and quite possibly the undead. This is Real Ghost Stories Online.
That indeed it is, 855-853-4802, our phone number at Real Ghost Stories Online to share your real ghost stories with us. And if you want to get all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, the archive, which is the world's largest audio archive of ghost stories, all of it commercial free, check out patreon.com/realghoststories or search Real Ghost Stories Online, four words, on Patreon, or go to our website, ghostpodcast.com. You can sign up there as well and access it all from the website at ghostpodcast.com. Tony and Carol with you on today's episode. Oh, the program. What's going on?
Well, I saw an interesting thing today.
Yeah.
So I'm driving home from work, and there's a little stretch on that drive home that there's some apartments, and then there's just not a whole lot. Like a big park on one side of the road, the apartments, and then it's like a park, a river, then a shopping area.
Mm-hmm.
And so across the river, I was like, what is that guy doing? So I kind of slowed down and he was pushing a propane grill. Is he taking his grill out for a walk or is he stealing it or what? But I'm like, wherever he's taking it to or taking it from,
yeah,
like there was a little bit of a walk involved. And I'm like, what? That takes some determination. It's like, I don't have a car, but I want that propane grill really bad.
Those wheels aren't usually for long distances either. No. On things like that. It's like, wheel it across the deck a little bit. Not, let's go for a 5-mile hike down the walking trail in Wichita.
It wasn't like, and where he was pushing it north. And I'm like, okay, there's not even a house for like 3 blocks that direction. It's all businesses. I'm looking at it from, you know, across the lanes of traffic,
mm-hmm.
but it had a lid on it. Like it was a big one.
Yeah.
What?
I don't know. I mean, I'm surprised every day by what I see walking along the sides of the road. So I'm like, oh, that's interesting.
One night in my last house where I lived on it. It wasn't a super busy street, but it was an easy street to go fast on.
Yeah.
And so at night, you know, you'd hear people driving real fast down the street.
Mm-hmm.
Like one time a car wrecked in the yard and almost ran into my bedroom. But one night, so I like to have the windows open a little bit when I sleep. And so I had the windows open and I heard something. And I'm like, what is that? And I look out the window and it's like 3 a.m. And there is a guy pushing a desk chair down the street. Like, now what? Like, there's a number of scenarios that could have, like, today, like
math usually involving all of them.
They just gave me this barbecue grill, or is it what makes more sense? If I can just get this to my drug dealer, I can get $25 worth of crack for this propane grill. But that's probably what really makes sense in that scenario. But I'm like, the office chair, like, you ain't even going to get $25 a crack for that. Like, what are you doing with it?
Take it from Carol. You ain't going to get $25 worth of crack for that.
Not for that office chair, you ain't. Unless it's super nice.
But if you don't come see me today, I can't save you any money. Speaking of crack.
But I'm like, so either I'm like, the two scenarios are he's really high and he thinks that's a really awesome chair and he needs to get it home. Mm-hmm. Or he wants to get really high and thinks this really awesome chair can help get him high. I don't know. And it was kind of like that today. I'm like, the only thing that made sense to me was drugs are involved in
this. Oh, yeah.
That's all. Because I really don't think you're taking the propane grill out for a walk. And it was literally halfway across the bridge. So yeah. It wasn't like I just stumbled upon this propane grill.
There's a interesting intersection here near a highway. And there's one of those, like, you know, we do your taxes in like 45 minutes type places. And they have a person that dresses up every day like the Statue of Liberty. And she's out there. She does the sign twirling and everything. And it's like, oh, my God, like what? You have to be on something, the amount of energy this person has every day. And honestly, she does. I mean, I'm making some judgments here. If you just kind of look at the person and go, okay, I see that. Probably meth. That's my guess. But this is a job at least. They're, you know, she's making some money. She's doing it's gainful employment. It is what it is. But the thing is, all around this sidewalk where this person's dancing and parading around, flipping this sign in different directions, it's unfortunately there's a lot of homeless that all kind of hang out there at the same point because it's right by a highway. So it's the weirdest sight of this camp of people and this person dancing around in the Statue of Liberty costume, nearly missing people all the time with the sign flipping. And, you know, of course, and there's like some of those in the background, there's two of those wavy, you know, things with it, the big characters that have the air things that blow into them. But you see it like cell phone stores.
Yeah.
So you got that in the background, like this weird celebration up by the tax office. You got Statue of Liberty and just, you know, people in poverty and in very rough times, you know, just sitting there on the streets. It's like this dystopian picture of hell. Like, what the fuck?
It kind of is.
It's like, oh, my God. I mean, and the thing is, most of this town is really nice. But if you pulled off the off ramp right there and that's the first thing you see, I think I'd be getting right back on the highway. Like, I'll take the next exit, please.
Makes me want to drive by just to take. Sometime when you go by, just shoot a little video because I would love to see it.
It is so bizarre. It is so fucking bizarre. But it is, you know, it probably happens all over. Let's go to our first story of the day. It says, hi, guys. I'm a new listener to your show, but I am completely in love with it. And your stories have kept me awake many times on many long nightly drives. Thank you for taking such a serious interest in a very controversial topic. I'm glad listeners like me finally have a forum to tell their stories without being laughed at. But I digress. Writing you today to see if you could possibly help my family. And I write with a haunting that has been occurring on a semi-regular basis at our home for the last 10 years. It's followed us to three different houses and has tormented my nephew since he was a toddler. And while just talking about it angers me, I'm hoping that by sharing this, you can help or give some advice or ideas what we could try in order to be rid of it. If you can't, then I guess give a good story to tell your listeners. Anyway, I first became aware of this haunting about 5 years ago. I had quit my job and decided to move back home, but since I had no apartment yet, my sister asked me to stay with her in her large home until I found a place to live. She had gotten used to people living with her since at the time she had two sons and our grandmother had moved in after our grandfather passed away suddenly years ago. Our mother also occupied a room in the house. So with the kids, there was three adults, two children, and a four-bedroom house. The boys, aged 5 and 3, slept in bunk beds on the first floor in the bedroom that was around the corner from my mom's room, while my grandmother and sister slept upstairs in rooms divided by a hallway. I had been at the house for 3 days when, on the third night, I woke up to my sister's older son running into the room and slamming the door behind him. I was sleeping on an air mattress on my sister's floor, and when I sat up, he bolted across the room at me with the most horrified and frantic look on his face. I'll never forget that look for as long as I live. And as he came towards me, he started screaming for his mother. Thinking it was a bad dream, I wrapped my arms around him and tried to comfort him, but he was inconsolable. By this time, all the noise had woken up my sister, and she immediately came across the room and took her son from me. I told her that he must have had a nightmare. All my sister did was give me a dark look and shook her head. No. She put her finger to her lips and then pointed down towards the door. Since the staircase in her home had to be a tad steep, we always kept the stairway light on at night, in case the kids needed to come upstairs, and as I turned my gaze to the door, I saw shadows moving quite quickly under the door. I instantly felt dread at seeing this, and since I'm not a particularly courageous one, I laid in bed for hours watching those shadows move under the door and listening to the sounds of my nephew's crying slowly die down as his mother helped him. Soon, he was asleep, and almost at the same time, he was breathing evenly. The shadows stopped, the feeling of terror left me. It was then that my sister rolled her son away from her, tucked him in, and joined me on my bed for a quiet talk that reminded me of when we were young. I had many questions and concerns, and as she answered them, I learned that this wasn't a rare occurrence, and it had, in fact, been happening for years. It began when my nephew was just a year old. My sister was living alone at this time, and as she was watching TV one night, she heard Sammy crying from his bedroom. She said there was something different about his crying this time. There was an urgency, a terror in his voice that she had never heard before, and when she rushed to his room, she threw the door open, fully expecting to find him on the floor from climbing out of his crib and perhaps his fingers being pinched by something. However, what she found was an empty room, and when she went to the crib, Sammy was inside crying frantically. As she scooped him up and decided he probably needed a bottle, but as she walked about, a slight shadow shift out of the corner of her eye caught her attention. Three corners of the room were brightly lit, but the fourth was shrouded in a black cloud-like figure that simply stayed there, not moving. As my sister moves closer to inspect the figure, Sammy's crying intensified further, and suddenly she felt like someone was directly in front of her face, staring angrily at her. She stopped completely terrified, and after about a full minute, the cloud dissipated, and so did the feeling. She immediately ran from the room, closed the door, and refused to re-enter it, even leaving his crib behind when she moved. For about 6 months after moving, she said things were calm, but soon it all started happening again. Sammy would wake up screaming, terrified, frantic, and as soon as my sister came into the room, the feeling would hit her that she wasn't welcome in his room from the time he was one until he was three. Sammy slept in his mom's room. Still, not as often as before, but still quite regularly. A figure came back as soon as my sister stopped being scared and started being pissed off. She started telling it to go away the moment she felt it come in the room. When I asked her if that helped, she said, "I like to believe it does." We both had a feeling it didn't. In the year before I came to stay with her, with Sammy in his own room yet again, the occurrences had started picking up in frequency again, and when asked, Sammy said that it was not one but two ghosts that frightened him. He told his mom that it was an old woman and man who stand next to his bed and whisper evil things in his ear. They tell him that they're going to kill him or steal his brother or kill his dog or his mom, and when he was asked to describe what they looked like, he says they have no eyes or mouths, only black holes where they're supposed to be. He said they don't physically touch him, but they do whisper, sometimes for hours without pause. Needless to say, after hearing about all this, I became concerned, but I did dismiss it a little as an overdramatic sister, maybe the family cat or dog casting shadows down the hallway. The next day, I asked my grandmother if she had gotten up in the night, and she said no, which makes sense since the movement under the door that night was way too quick for a 68-year-old woman. I did my best to dismiss it from my mind, as I almost did, but a week later, around 2 a.m., I was in the dining room watching a movie on my laptop, and I've always been a night owl, so I was the only one up while everyone else was asleep, and I had earbuds in so I wouldn't wake anyone. As I'm sitting there, I'm suddenly aware that I'm not alone in the room. Expecting to see one of the kids, I took my earbuds out and turned around, and I saw nothing there. No kids, no adults, not even the cat. But still, the feeling didn't leave, and as I sat there, it seemed that the room got slightly darker around me. Not trying to get spooked, I told myself that I was simply tired and decided to finish the movie and then go to bed. I dismissed the occurrence put my earbuds back in, and tried to get back into the movie, but it wasn't long before I felt another noticeable shift in the room's atmosphere. When I saw something move in the corner of my eye, took out my earbuds, sat quietly, listening to the silence of the house. It wasn't long before I heard, not loud but audible, voices coming from my nephew's room, including a very loud whisper of my nephew's name. It gave me a chill, but I figured my nephews had probably woken up and were talking. When I reached the half-open door, I pushed it open, and as soon as it started to swing open, the whispers instantly stopped. Walking into the room, I immediately felt what my sister felt that day when her son was a year old. I didn't see a black figure, but I immediately knew I wasn't welcome. And the fear I felt completely closed my throat and kick-started my heart into overdrive. Would have to equate the feeling I felt to walking down a dark city alley and seeing a dark figure hiding against the building right next to you. It's a terrifying feeling, but I swallowed it, checked to see that my nephews were both sleeping, and the feeling of fear was instantly replaced with anger. I was mad that whoever or whatever this thing was had decided to torment my sweet-natured nephew and ruin his childhood with this bullshit. So with this pure rage inside me, I stood in the middle of his room and said in a normal yet stern voice, "You are not welcome here. You are not welcome in this house. You need to leave, and this boy and his family alone, in the name of God." After that, I stayed in his room all night, and while the feeling did leave, I was a dummy to think I had solved this problem. It wasn't long before they returned, and as much as I hate to say it, they still visit him to this day. He's now 10 years old, and while they still visit regularly, he's learned to not be scared by them. Actually, the whole family has learned this. For a while, we tried different things, a house blessing, a priest, baptism of Sammy, and the only thing that worked was a rosary that he slept with every night, but after replacing them almost weekly after they were stolen from under his pillow, he stopped, and Sammy just accepted that these things would forever be there. I'd love to someday tell him that they will go away, but I just don't know. They've never appeared to his younger brother, and the adult of the family has only seen dark figures hanging out in the corner of the rooms, never an old man or lady. I'd love to hear y'all's thoughts on this. I have another story to tell, but I'll save it for another time. I've already written a book for you here. Keep up the good work. Sincerely, Marilyn. Thoughts on that?
You know, that's the kind of story that just pisses me off. Excuse me. Because when kids are involved, you know, it's like, why are they tormenting the poor child?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I get, and we've talked about this a lot, how kids can experience things and a lot of times they'll grow out of it, but usually it's before they're 10.
Yeah.
And I think they're able to see what we can't see. But this one, it's just not right.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, because the poor child's being tormented and no matter where they go.
And it does sound like they've tried a lot of things too.
Right. I wish we had some secret magical idea that would get rid of it.
You have to use a different type of detergent.
Obviously, because they're not using the right one.
Yeah. I don't know. I mean, the thing is with this, there is no, you know, silver bullet or anything. The only thing I can say, I mean, I don't know what else is going on in everyone's life, but the more positivity you can have in an environment or a situation or in a circle of human beings, the more likely negative type things are to not want to hang around there. So that's the only thing I could say to take a look at. Maybe things are hunky-dory. I don't know. But that is one thing.
And I don't know. You know, I would assume you would have your kid in counseling. Not that the counselor can get rid of it, but that's a lot for a child to deal with.
Yeah,
I don't even know if you could find a counselor that wouldn't be judgy about that or try to talk the kid out of what he's seen. But I think
it needs to be examined.
You would know better than
I would go and get it looked at first. I mean, I wouldn't immediately, and I don't know if this is being immediately assumed paranormal and only assumed paranormal, because there's disorders that people can have.
But other people are experiencing things as well.
One of them is seeing dark shadows. but nowhere near to the level of what this kid is seeing or experiencing. Yeah. That's where I would say, you know, and sometimes people do have some sort of thing going on with them, you know, mentally or physically, and physiologically. And sometimes you get the darker things and then play off of that too. So, I mean, it also go and, you know, get a workup done. Just make sure everything that can be ruled out is ruled out health-wise. Because if there is something else going on there, you want to get that taken care of.
And I do know if you're in a situation where anyone is seeing something or they're waking up terrified, you know, even if a child's just having, like when a kid sleepwalks, like that's mm-hmm. kind of freaky to me.
Sure.
Because it's like they're in a trance.
Yeah.
Or possessed.
Yeah.
Because they're talking and they're moving and they don't know what they're doing. Or people who are on Ambien.
Yeah.
That's kind of creepy. But you can kind of feed off of that a little bit as well. That wouldn't explain seeing shadows and stuff, mm-hmm. but it would certainly feel like someone's in the room with you when that happens in the middle of the night.
Yeah.
But, you know, I don't know that it would help the poor kid, but I mean, maybe it would help him to talk about it with someone.
Yeah.
I don't know. Because the idea of a child having to live like that just breaks my heart.
Yeah. I mean,
Harper's almost 10.
Yeah.
That girl's living her best life every day. That's what every child should do.
And she only levitates 3 days a week. And
that's because she wants to.
Yeah. She does the little, you know, thing. You know, she sacrifices the frog. And then the bat,
which I wish she wouldn't do. But
I don't know where she gets this shit. Like, she'll come home and like, how was your day at school, honey? It was really good. Oh, yeah. What you got in your backpack there? I got the bat wings. I got the truffles. And I got the sacrificial rats. Where did you get all that? I traded for it at lunch. Like, oh, my God. And then she does the little ceremony, levitates a little bit. And then we play a game of checkers and go to bed. Yeah.
You know? Honey, are you done levitating? Because it's time to read a story before bed.
Talking in like those three voices simultaneously is starting to scare Daddy a little bit.
So let's kind of not do that.
No, Daddy. Yeah,
I definitely could see how, like, when a child would wake up in the middle of the night, that terrified would be terrifying. Mm-hmm. You know, when it happens time. And then he talks about seeing things and everything that little kid did. That just breaks my heart. And I wish there was an easy answer for that.
Well, the thing is, no matter what the answer is of like what is causing this, there's going to be trauma there, you know, from whatever is causing this, whether it be something paranormal or something that is more, I guess, easily explained. But yeah, I mean, it's either way, it's going to have to be dealt with. So, you know, you can lead a happy, healthy life. Because that's some dark stuff to be holding on to and have to kind of try and, you know, square up, if you will.
How do you relate to the other little kids? Not very well.
No, it gets really awkward on the bus, especially when Harper tries to levitate on the bus. We had to talk about that the other day. It's like, honey.
Of course you did.
Please stop levitating on the bus. The school district called me and they're like, you know, we like think Harper's great. And, you know, I think it's great she does that podcast, but can you have her stop levitating on the bus and the Ouija sessions at recess, please? You know,
really need to stop.
She's making it with chalk out on the basketball courts. And yeah, it's, you know, they have one of the kids be a blindfold and then they become like the planchette. They just have to like walk around. It's really weird.
It's great. She's using the blindfold as a mask.
Yes.
And the kids are trying to social distance while they're doing it, but it's just not working.
Yeah. The other day when she tried to sacrifice that chicken, I went out to like check out the chickens and make sure that they were all okay. One's missing. And then I get a call, Mr. Tony, Harper brought a chicken to school today and was trying to do a sacrificial ceremony on the basketball court again. Like, oh, that's silly.
And
Harper.
Whoever has not been paying attention to this episode and just heard that part. Not true. It's not.
None of this is real. None of this is real.
Because, you know, it's always like that. You know, somebody's not paying attention. Moron. It's like, oh, my God, his kid did what?
Yeah, exactly. Like, it's like, rewind.
Listen, context.
No, you just keep on going.
Context is so important, children. Let's hear the final chapter here in Claudia's story and see where it ends up.
Hey, Tony. This is part four. Sorry, it's like really long. It's probably longer than any of the other stories that you've had on your program, but or your podcast. But I just want to pick up where I left off. So I'm on this property, Underground Railroad. We're at the water well. There's a podium, has historic history behind it. And I'm actually reading this podium, and this podium is saying how important it was back in the early 1800s. Now, this area that this field where we were at is in Olney, Maryland. So it's not too far from the closest area right next to it, Silver Spring, Maryland. So Olney has rich history, not too much compared to like the other parts of where Harriet Tubman was in Maryland, and she crossed through this area. But this area had a podium, and I love my history. Carol does too. So if you can, if you're going to piece all this together, please put it together. But Carol and you, I know you love the Titanic history, but Carol loves like historic, like everything dating back in probably everything in this, the whole United States. But going back to my experience, I'm at this water well, and it's pretty much like fenced off. So it's probably like a good maybe 6 feet by 9 feet. And after we see the spirit, after I'm standing on top of what I thought it was, what it looked like, somebody's human grave made out of rocks, because maybe that's how they used to do it back in the days. And then again, nobody really travels that path. I go back to this water well because I really want to understand what I just saw, even though I know what I saw. And my brother-in-law, Brandon, is looking at me and he's like, this is stupid. This is where people die in a horror movie. So I'm thinking to myself, like, he's such a sissy, but okay. I respect that. He's scared. He's not prepared for this. So we go to this water well. There's a podium there, and it's saying that it has historic value to it. And I'm looking at it, and there's like this little pipe coming out of the ground, but it's like an area that's dug out where there's water just flowing. And I'm thinking, how beautiful. If this is where people used to collect water, this is beautiful. You know, the water looked clean. And so after, you know, observing this historical piece of property, I leave the property and I go to the outskirts of the pretty much like the wood lines. And I had noticed there's a bucket out there, and there's a bucket, and my younger sister, she follows me, and I'm searching through this bucket. Now this bucket has things that a 14-year-old all the way down to a 2-year-old would put in a bucket. So you're talking about like 2 years old to like 14 years old would hold in a bucket. And it didn't make any sense to me, because I'm like, that's a huge gap in age difference. Why would anybody put like all these different things in a bucket? And it didn't make sense to me. And I still don't understand that till this day. It's still like an enigma to me. But there's a bucket, and I'm looking at it, and I'm picking out all these things. There's like dolls, there's like a journal, there's toys, but these toys and these journals and all these different things that reflect on like a very huge age gap from like a preteen all the way down to a toddler. And as I'm looking and I'm picking through it, my sister is standing literally right behind me. And she's like, Claudia, she's like, this is freaking me out. Like, put that stuff back and leave it there. She's like, I don't like it. And I look at her and I was like, okay. So I can tell she's like genuinely freaked out, because when I turn back to look at her, I can see her facial expression. And I can tell like she does not like what I'm doing. But I'm trying to figure out like, what the hell did we just see? And why am I finding all these weird things? Like there's a historical well, and then there's a bucket full of like things that a child would put in there on the edge of a tree line into the woods. So I was like, okay, that's fine. I put all these things back into the bucket, and I'm confused. Like, these things are so weird. Like, this is a huge age gap for one person to put into a bucket. Like, you're talking about 10 years age gap from 2 years old to like maybe 12 years old. So I put it back into the bucket because my sister is uncomfortable with it and she doesn't like it. So I put it back into the bucket. I get up and we actually leave the property. We leave that property, but the whole time I'm the last one in the line. My sister and Brandon and my nephew are ahead of me, and I'm the last one on the trail. And I keep remembering that as the last person on that trail, like that older couple in their 50s, something was following them. So I keep turning back, and I keep looking back behind me. There's nothing there, but I feel like something is like right behind me. After that, never returned to that property. But I've been tempted to go back, but I will not go back. Only because now I know better. If I go back, something might follow me, and I don't want that shit. So I'm going to be honest with you. I can ask you if you can put all these pieces together. That'd be great. Love Carol. And I love Tony. Tony, you're awesome. Love Carol. Harper. Oh, Harper. She's so bold. I will say that. She's very bold. And Todd, you're awesome. So I love everybody who's on the show. Keep doing what you're doing. I got more experiences, actually. Matter of fact, I worked in a haunted limousine for about 4 years, but I'll call back later to tell you about that. And I'll call back later to tell you about the angel that saved my life during a rock concert. And the whole experience with the supernatural hell in heaven, don't hold your breath on that one. It ain't gonna happen because I don't like reliving that. But love what you're doing with your show, you know, so keep doing what you're doing. And yeah, that's the experience that I had. Till this day, I think about it, and that shit was fucking creepy. So
there you go.
Well, excuse me, she's totally right because I do love history. And as she was telling that story about the well, which makes it sound like it's probably a natural spring that comes up right there, mm-hmm. which might be kind of a place. It'd be interesting. Like, she needs to go do a little digging on it because I wonder if there's some kind of good luck thing or there's like children take things they like and leave it there for some superstitious reason, mm-hmm. or maybe there was, you know, something that happened to a child. Obviously, the place is kind of haunted around it. Mm-hmm. There are three other parts to this story. If you haven't heard them, I'll go back and listen to them. But so it makes me almost think like those things are left there for a reason. And it's connected to that spring.
Yeah, you know. Almost. I mean, do you think maybe it's connected to a spring? I know sometimes, you know, with the toys and stuff. If you happen to find like a lot of children's toys kind of like that in an odd location, sometimes it's a tribute to someone who died there. Mm-hmm. You'll find this commonly in cemeteries.
You know what? She did say in that last episode that there was stones that were in the shape of a grave.
Yeah.
But I don't know if that was the same place where the spring was, because there was a podium with information about. But she never really said what information was on that.
Yeah.
Those historical markers. And yes, I love history. And like that's why I think it'd be interesting to research that area.
Yeah.
Because if there's a historical marker there, there is something available on the internet you can find.
Mm-hmm.
And it'd be interesting because you might just find out why people are leaving things.
Yeah.
There might be a child that died.
Yeah.
And people, you know, they come and get a sip out of the spring and leave a gift for the child. I mean, who knows?
And if you get there before 5 o'clock, there'll be free hot dogs and balloons for the kids. 66 WNBC. That's right. Come on down to Sonny's Bizarro Graveyard. You don't know who's buried here or where they're at, but we'll let you enjoy your time. Enjoy the springs. Enjoy the hot dogs. And come see us. We got a deal on some 98 Priuses if you want to try and get on some of those. Financing, it's no credit, no problem. All weekend long here at the Silly Springs Used Car Emporium where you can bury your loved ones, leave memorials, and buy Priuses at 70% off. Yes, it's this weekend only. And if you come in right now and say, hey, I just heard this on 92.7 The Cock, you are going to get yourself, we're going to get you hooked up with some 92.7 The Cock rubbers. That's right. We just got them in stock. Get a whole handful of those for your bad self. Here's Billy Ocean on The Cock.
You did. Oh, and I love Billy Ocean, by the way, full disclosure. But yeah, I thought that was really, I think it was a multi-part story. I think it was very interesting. Mm-hmm. I wish I knew what the hell actually happened as far as an explanation, but you don't know.
Sure.
And the fact that there are other stories that included a haunted limousine,
mm-hmm.
that's intriguing. The I'd rock like to show hear story, yeah. that's intriguing.
Mm-hmm.
So I'd like to hear those stories. But last thing, you remember the story of my niece saying that she thought her car was haunted and so she sold it? I mean, we don't get a lot of haunted car
stories.
True,
we don't. No, you're exactly right. I was just talking about that with Todd on the earlier episode today. So many weird things connect here, because I have another thing to connect to the story. So my girlfriend was out of town this weekend. She was graduating, getting her master's, and she went to go and visit some other things in her hometown or where she grew up, and one of them was a cemetery, and she hadn't been in the cemetery for a long, long time. And she called me. She's like, I had to call you and share this like moment with you because this was totally weird. There was a child that had passed away when she was a kid. It was a classmate. The kid was about 10 when he died. And this was in the 90s. And she wanted to see if she could find the grave. And it's a fairly big cemetery. She's like, I'm such a time crunch here. Like, she just kind of like says a little prayer. Like, can you just show me where the grave is? Turns around and it's right there.
That's crazy.
Like, boom, right there. And she sends me a picture, and it had a bunch of children's toys and stuff on it. That's why I found that story kind of interesting, because I just had this conversation with her over the weekend when she had that experience. And yeah, just a weird, thing.
I had a weird experience. It was in the fall. One of my friends moved back to town, and she's like, do you want to go bird watching? I'm like, yeah, totally do that. So she goes, well, there's a couple good places, and one's a cemetery. And it's that cemetery that's on, you will know where it is. It's on Hillside. It's not that far from Wichita State University, south of there.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know what? I've always wanted to walk around that cemetery. I'd love to. So they've got some really historical, there's a lot of people who kind of shape the city who are buried there.
Yeah.
So we're walking around in the really old part of the cemetery. And I was standing there looking at something, and I turn around and I'm literally standing on my friend's grave. And I had, like, he and I weren't like best friends or anything like that, but we certainly knew each other mm-hmm. over the years. And I had no idea he was buried in that cemetery. No idea he was buried like in the old part of the cemetery. I thought, like the newest grave there would be from 1940, maybe.
Sure.
And I'm assuming like his family had the plot,
mm-hmm.
plots, obviously.
Yeah.
And so there was one that he had, but it was so bizarre. Like how I could be standing on someone I knew's grave.
Mm-hmm.
And it made me jump. I was like, whoa, I was not ready for that.
I know you have those moments, and it's just like you're sitting there in some silence. It's like, this is a weird moment. Then all of a sudden, suddenly it's like, now what? How bizarre.
How bizarre.
And you just kind of dance around a little bit to this weird music, and you're like, how bizarre. Brother Bellis on the back. I'm on the grave in the front. Didn't know that you died. Yeah, it's just, yeah. I hated that
song. But it's
song.
A really weird feeling.
It is a weird feeling. We hated that song so much at one of our radio stations. We took the CD single and chucked it down the hall, and I never seen a CD shatter before that moment.
Really?
OMC, how bizarre.
How bizarre.
Was never played on that radio station again.
I hated that song.
It was shitty. It just was shitty.
Thanks for getting it stuck in my head. Because you know that's the one I'll be... Yeah, I always wake up in the morning with a song in my head.
Middle
that's
of the night.
Be the one tomorrow.
Middle of the night. It's going to... What happened to OMC? It was like their only song ever. Huh. There you go. All right. Well,
how appropriately named. How bizarre.
I know. All right. That's going to wrap up today's episode of Real Ghost Stories Online. If you like the show, keep us on the air. Become an extra podcast person. Sign up at ghostpodcast.com or patreon.com/realghoststories. Get access to all the bonus episodes, advanced episodes, and more. Check it out. Until next time, for Carol, I'm Tony. Thanks for listening to Real Ghost Stories Online.